Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Hey Ash, how's it going?
Hey Greg.
It's been a long week for you, hasn't it?
It has.
So what have you been up to?
Since Sunday, I've been in Suffolk.
Doing what? I've
been exploring some of the weird and wonderful stories and historic ghostly tales that have been coming out of Suffolk for hundreds of years. Some that we talked about on the just after Christmas last year.
Yeah.
And we talked about some of the incidents surrounding Rendlesham Forest and just that area. So yeah. I thought I'd spend 5 days just going to these different places, doing a couple of experiments, a couple of my own investigations, and just seeing if we can find anything out myself.
Cool. So what we're going to do this episode then is we'll just have a chat about your trip. What you think of it down south, and sort of discuss any sort of strange happenings, anything that you saw that was weird. Now we've only briefly had catch ups during the week, only briefly, because the signal's not so great and whatnot.
Not great is an overstatement.
So we were actually trying to do an episode where we were gonna record each night. But due to locations being quite remote and signal strength, it didn't quite work out. Otherwise, that's what we'd have been doing today. So we're going to have a roundup and sort of discuss where you went, what you got up to.
Do it day by day.
Yeah, and do it day by day, because I know you've been to some interesting places. I've seen the Facebook photos of you running and whatnot, which we'll cover off a little bit later. But no, you definitely had the weather for it.
It was sunny, just 28 degrees every day. No clouds, just blue sky.
Yeah.
Really hot sun.
Could not have been better. Because generally...
Day of the week, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. UK weather during the summer is generally shit. And it's generally rainy and cold and whatnot. So, yeah, you picked a good week, got lucky. Good location, because I know... The location that you ended up at in Suffolk was somewhere that's been on your bucket list for a long time.
Yeah.
So,
quite a lot.
We've definitely talked about it. We've definitely talked about it a lot. Definitely around, like you said, around December, January time. So, yeah, nice. Nice. So, should we start off? You went down Sunday.
Yeah.
Headed off down early Sunday. It's a bit of a trek for you guys.
It took us about 7 hours to get there.
That's bananas. That is bananas. I can get up to Newcastle in that kind of time. So, that is a trek.
Like the roads just end, and it's like the motorway, there's just no motorway. It's just like, fuck me. It's got like 150 miles and there's no motorways. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
So there's motorway most of the way, surely?
Well, like from up till, because we've got the A12 and most of the journey was A12, like down towards Peterborough. And then that goes into sort of three lanes heading towards London, but then you come off, obviously to go towards Suffolk, and it's just two lanes and then get on the country roads.
Nice.
I'm not used to country roads. I hate. It's like the roads get smaller and the speed limit goes higher. I'm like, I hate it. It's like there's not enough room for two cars on this road. Why? I'm not doing 60. I'm doing 30 because I'm scared. Like,
yeah.
You're like, why would you do 60 on this road? You can't even see around the next corner.
Yeah, that's what it's like down here. Yeah, so welcome.
Yeah. Give me Manchester with motorways everywhere.
Definitely. It's right. So first day, you got down safely, eventually.
Yeah.
So what did you do first day?
The first thing, we just thrown all the stuff in the cabin we were staying in, the glamping pod.
Yeah.
There was probably a couple of hours of daylight left. And we were staying literally 1.5 miles from Shingle Street.
Okay, yeah.
Which is a location we talked about on the Rendlesham episode. So I thought, right, let's go there. Let's check out Shingle Street and see. Well, I'm there. So the story with Shingle Street, and it gets a name because it's a beach and it's basically a shingle beach.
Okay.
So there's no sand. It's just a rock beach, which is better because we don't get sandy, noisy stuff. Hate sandy beaches.
Yeah, so.
So we thought we go there because Shingle Street, we talked about it on the podcast last time because it's the story goes that during World War II, there was a National Guard unit squad sent there, and they weren't told where they were going. They were just travelling by truck, and they were told not to look out the back of the truck. They weren't allowed to know where they were going. It was all like a secret operation. They'd been travelling for a couple of hours, and one of the guy who told the story to his granddaughter or his daughter. He looked out the back of the canopy on the truck and he saw the ocean. It looked like the ocean was on fire.
Yes.
Like it looked like there's like burning tankers or something. That's what it looked like. It's just flames coming into from the ocean. And then a little while later, they got to the location, which ended up to be Shingle Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Shingle Street had been evacuated at the time. It was during the Second World War. It was obviously the East Coast was like a hotspot for worrying that the Germans going to come in from the East Coast. Yeah. So the place was deserted. There was no military there. There's no civilians there. It's only a small little village, like tiny village. But when they got there, the beach was covered in hundreds of dead bodies, burned bodies, and they were all wearing German Nazi uniforms. And so as far as they could see along the beach was just these hundreds of burnt German bodies. There's nobody there. There's no military there's no civilians there, and they had to guard these bodies basically until the proper army came and took them over, and they were told to never tell anyone what they saw or where they were, where this always happened. There's a lot of people don't believe the story, and they all believe that it's a mismatch of other stories because they were trying to set the ocean on fire basically as a way of defense. Which did to some success. And there were places, not in Shingle Street, but in other parts of the country where there were dead Germans on the beach, where they managed to obviously kill an invading army.
Yeah.
So it's like them two stories sort of combined. Plus, I believe it's used as propaganda just to keep morale up. So like, we've like faded off a German attack.
Yeah.
We're winning, blah, 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 to give the soldiers morale during the early part of the Second World War. I think this was 1940. So it's the early part of the Second World War.
Yeah.
The guy who's telling this story that I've just told, his daughter's like, there's no reason for him to lie to make this story up. That's what he experienced. Yeah. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that. That's a very strange. And like you say, why would you make something like that? It's quite a weird tale anyway.
But yeah, and it's only just round the corner from the Bay of Orfordness, which is where we did have all these secret experiments, nuclear testing, radar systems.
Yes.
So it is an area where there was testing going on. That's fact. So it could have been more testing that they did, and they could have stopped the German invasion.
It could have been like prisoners of war that they'd taken there and tested on, I suppose.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, yeah. So you went there the first night, and anything sort of, did it feel weird? Was it weird?
No, it felt, it felt, I mean, probably because I'd just done a long-ass drive.
Yeah.
And I was just twice, I was a bit, because like I said, going down to Suffolk is something I've wanted to do my whole life. And when I'm driving through like these towns, I'm passing these places, which I'll talk about in a bit. All these names coming up, these places and names that I wanted to go to, things we've talked about, things that have been spent years researching to actually be driving through these places. I was a bit in awe and just like, I'm actually here. And so I think, and the, like you said, daylight was going, which we just sort of watched the sunset over the it came over the beach and just took some pictures. But yeah, it's a beautiful beach.
Yeah.
That was it. Then we headed back and got ready for the next day.
Cool. Yeah. So, it's one of those places, I suppose, because it happened so long ago and it's not really sort of a paranormal event like we might come on to in a bit, that it just is a place. So, cool. I'm glad you managed to get there after us talking about it in the previous episode. So,
yeah,
cool. Definitely. So did you actually have a good night's sleep the first night?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I took out, plus it was hot as well, like driving down.
Yeah, it was.
It's hot driving down and it took so long. And so it's giving me some, get me in bed.
So next day, second day.
So this is...
That was Monday.
Yeah, so this is Monday. And this was the whole reason for the trip, mainly. The main reason for the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And fulfilling... what we talked about quite a lot on the podcast was just getting down to Rendlesham Forest. Finally, the air bases, like where we were staying was like halfway between Shingle Street and RAF Woodbridge.
Yeah.
Where it all started in 1980, the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Yes.
So that. The first thing I wanted to do was definitely get into Rendlesham Forest.
Yeah.
And just spend the day there.
So did you get into the forest itself then?
Yeah, so there's a public, what they call UFO trail, where the Suffolk Forestry Commission, like obviously publicised this UFO trail. And then there's like five locations, and then there's like information boards with information about what happened in this location as part of the incident of the 3 nights.
Yeah.
So you start off, it's a 3 mile walk altogether. The first part of the walk is about probably just under a mile, and that takes you to the East Gate.
Okay, yeah.
Which is where it all started. So first of all, getting into Rendlesham Forest and just starting like the walk, it did feel a bit weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because of my emotional attachment to it or whether it's the area itself.
Yeah.
But it's just I can't believe I'm actually finally here in Rendlesham Forest. So that's been a part of my life for like 20 odd years.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to come down here for that long as well. And finally just awesome. saying fuck it, I'm going. Let's just go.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, mixture of emotions then, like heightened emotions for you. So it felt good. Bit strange.
Definitely strange. And then we walked to the East Gate and it's just like, the gate's still there, the gatehouse where like the guards would be still there, and then behind it you can see some of the other buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the old disused the runway is beyond that as well. So I spent quite a bit of time just stood like at the East Gate, just looking, just taking it in, and just like imagining being the two officers that were stood at this gatehouse and looking where they were looking and where they saw the lights. When they first saw the lights above the forest, and then they saw the lights come down into the forest, they thought possibly a plane crash, etc.
Yeah.
I was just imagining 40 years ago, they were stood there watching these lights, and obviously what that incident became.
So did it make it more real for you? I know that's a sort of a strange question, but being there, looking out, imagining what was going on, did it?
Yeah, definitely, because you can actually put a real picture to it. Because read so much and hear so much about it, and you can just picture your own thing in your head of there's a forest between two air bases, and they saw this. It's, you just sort of picture what you know, which actually be like, this is what they saw, and this is where you can actually, now when I think about it, I can picture the actual East Gate, the actual what they saw. So it takes on a change. It's definitely changed the sort of how I think about it.
When
I think about it.
So did you go from there to sort of where it all happened, where the
So yeah, so
the lights dropped.
So the next point on the, like I say, there's five location markers. The next one was sort of from the direction of where they saw the lights coming in. Mm-hmm. It's sort of with the border fence of the base, which is probably another half a mile or so walk.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's probably nearly a mile from there to the, like, what they call the landing site. And they've got like a model
of
the craft in this big clearing.
Okay.
More information boards again. Sadly, it's been graffitied to heck.
Yeah. Welcome to the UK.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, I mean, I do believe that that's not the very, very accurate to where it was. Okay. But I believe it was close enough. I suppose it's where the forest commission could put a big model in the middle of the forest. Yeah. It's not small either, but it's quite big.
Okay.
You could probably sit like 10 people on it or something. It's quite a big like metal craft.
And this is the landing bit where Charles Holt and his crew went with that famous recording. Is that right?
So this is the where Peniston.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I saw the hieroglyphics on it, and it was.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
The course, and he had that whole story that comes off from that, and him fainting, missing 20 minutes, etc. And then from there you go to the next location, which is looking over the farmers' fields.
Yeah.
Which is on the. One of the other nights where they saw the lights, the other lights in the farmer's field coming out of the opening.
Right, cool, yeah.
Just because, like I say, it's three nights, there's obviously all these different things happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's quite a few people on the trail.
Was there?
That I bumped into, talking to, and often take pictures and that for each other, and talking about podcasts and stuff. So I managed to get... Say, oh, we've got a podcast, listen to ours. But if you listen to this, it's nice.
Always
to
advertising,
you.
Always advertising.
Yeah, definitely. He said he listened to it, so if you're listening, nice to meet you.
And thanks for listening. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, with the other people on the trail, they're all sort of into UFOs, that kind of thing, because I imagine it probably is a nice place to walk anyway, but I suppose
it's a beautiful forest, and all different obviously flowers and trees and plants and stuff that have all been growing there. Some definitely like the guy I was talking to you then about, that guy, he'd come from Somerset to go there. And a couple of those like dog walkers and stuff, but you could see like they were talking to him, like between themselves. You could hear them talking about like, oh, this is where this happened and stuff. So there were definitely people. I mean, we were there for a few hours. We took our time. We spent a lot of time in each location, just taking it in. Nothing like that, and just taking lots of pictures, and they did some like Facebook lives and stuff from there for the UFO page.
Yeah, saw those.
But he's just good. And like I said, well, I haven't got like business cards to give people, and like, because you know, it's like-minded people.
Yeah, definitely.
So like a place where to go away. You want to meet people. Like, we probably saw 10 different groups of people at least passing at different points of the trail. Like talk to most of them as they're passing and stuff. So it's a good place. You just want to talk to random people. About what happens. So we're there for a few hours just following the trail with a plan to go back another day at night time and just explore more of the forest.
Cool. So, important question, did you see anything unusual during that visit?
No.
Cool.
And no? That may be a bit of a recurring theme.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
As we go.
Cool. So that was, so did you do anything in the evening, or was that
so the evening we went to a place called Wesselton. And this again, this is what, if you think back, if you listen to our Rendlesham episode, this is another location. St Peter's Church where it's believed that the devil is trapped yes. beneath the church.
This is my kind of lean-in paranormal kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we went in daytime. We saw daylight when we got there the first time.
Yeah.
And there's what's called the witch's gravestone, which is mm-hmm. a gravestone which has just fell over flat on its face a couple hundred years ago. Yeah. And like, no weeds or anything's ever growing over the top of it. It's just there.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. And that is the case. Someone had poured a pile of mud on top of it, but apart from that, there's nothing actual growing on it. And next to, not far from the witch's tombstone, is the grating, where it's believed, and this is next to the vicar's door to the vicarage. And it's through this grating where it's believed that the devil has been trapped. Nice. And you can summon him. There's a way that you can summon him.
Tell us how you tried that.
So I wasn't going to go all that way, go to this church and not try and summon the devil.
I mean, that's absolutely.
You have to try it.
Yeah.
So the tale or the story or whatever goes that at these grates, you place like some straw or handkerchief or something over these grating. And then starting at the witch's tombstone, you have to run around the church anti-clockwise 7 times. And then you're not allowed to look at it as you're running past. You've got to run around 7 times. And then when you finish, the personal item will either disappear or you'll be able to hear the devil rattling his chains because he's trying to escape from wherever he's trapped under the church.
Christ.
So I put a piece of straw and a tissue. I didn't have a handkerchief, so I put a tissue. I think it's from a McDonald's tissue, napkin. So I had on me, that's anything like a handkerchief. So put them over the grating, set up a full spectrum camera over looking at the grating. And then I ran around the church 7 times. And just by my luck, someone turned up in a car full of people, literally just as I started running. It's like, seriously, there's been no one here the whole time I've been here. And I've started running around the church, there's a car full of people. But anyway, I did it. It's quite a big church as well. And it's not an even path or ground. It's all overgrown. It's the grass is higher than the tombstones.
Oh, Jesus.
It's really unkept churchyard. Yeah. It's just like piles of mud and uneven ground. So it took about 8 minutes, I think it was, to run around.
Oh, Christ.
Seven times. I'm trying not to fall over holes or tombstones or anything. So I ran around 7 times, waited. The items are still there. I didn't hear the devil rattling his chains, unfortunately.
Got it.
But you have to try it, right?
You imagine if you'd have heard the devil or something had disappeared.
Yeah, that'd have been...
That'd be weird.
Well, I mean, apparently, like, you're not allowed to look at the grating when you're doing it. So I wonder because I had the camera on it, that might have stopped whatever happening because it knew it was being watched by something.
Yeah.
Maybe not allowed to have anything watching it.
Yeah. Well, you gave it a go, then that's what it's all about. We've got to try these.
Yeah,
these things. Definitely.
So we did that and then we went for some tea and then we went back when it got dark. Went back with the it's creepy as hell. went back with the night vision cameras, the full spectrum. Did an EVP session there. Just went walking around, just recording, sitting there. But nothing to watch. All the footage back, and apart from a tombstone that shit me up the first time. So because it's pitch black, so I can only see in front of me by looking through the little screen on the camera. And I thought I saw what looked like a cloaked figure. That shit me up when I first saw it, but it was just the shape of a tombstone.
So you can see why people sort of see stuff like that and get freaked out, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I saw it and I know what time happened, fuck this. And I just saw a cloaked figure just across there from me in the pitch black, but I zoomed in and got closer to it and it was a tombstone. But it looks like the classic scary movie costume of the killer. It looks like
hooded death sort of thing. Yeah,
that's what it looked like through the night vision.
Jesus.
I sent you the video. You just see me going, fuck me, and then I realise what it is when I first see it.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So nothing sort of paranormal happened then, apart from that.
No, we viewed all the footage and the audio recordings, and no, nothing I can I can tell.
Shame, but give it a go. That's the the main thing, because yeah, a lot of people wouldn't have even tried that. I don't think they'd have said that's just like a folk tale or something. But at least you give it a go, and we can rule stuff out. Definitely.
Yeah. Apparently, it was created to stop smugglers like breaking into the crypt. Okay. And it was outside where the crypt was.
Yeah.
So you should just like try and stop the
yeah
crypt robbers or whatever from going down there by scaring them with this.
Yeah.
That the devil was down there.
But could still be down there.
Could be.
So that was a good night.
Yeah, so where did you enjoyed it?
Yeah. It's good. I'm encouraged by the fact that you're getting and embracing the paranormal side.
Yes, it's something like 12 months ago. I probably had not gone into that church at night in the pitch black.
Yeah. And look at that. Since then, we've been to Cannock Chase standing in the middle of a field, summoning demons and talking to spirits. And now you're in a church in Suffolk running around trying to hear the devil.
Yeah.
That's progress, Ash. You're a changed man. But no, that's all props to you. That's a really cool thing to try, especially in a place where there is that kind of history. So,
In the middle of nowhere,
in the dark.
Yeah, I suppose like, if it's this church around the corner, where I live in Manchester, at least there's lots of people around. There's houses, there's cars, there's roads. This is literally in the middle of nowhere.
Is it an abandoned church?
No.
No, is it? It's a working church.
It's just not. Just the garden's just not kept. By the looks of it.
Cool. Well, good work.
Cheers. What I will say, so what we did each night, just to add, is the sky there was pitch, like I said, there's no clouds, and it's pitch black, see so many more stars. So every night we did a bit of a stargaze as well.
Cool.
Because you could see the Milky Way with the naked eye.
Oh, okay.
It was that clear, that dark.
Was it?
Yeah, literally no lights at all.
Is it a dark sky sort of region?
I'm not sure. Because if we happen up to dark sky up in Scotland, where you like see the Milky Way so clear and stuff, and I think it's better to be able to see the Milky Way, but I could. It just was really amazing. Really, really dark.
I suppose because you've got the eastern sort of coast of the UK directly to the east, so there's no light pollution from that side. So
no, it's pretty much zero light pollution.
Amazing. Amazing. So did you see anything strange in the sky those nights?
No.
Okay. We're giving it a go. Come on, Ash. So that was day two.
Day three. More Tuesday. Of a relaxed day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously with my partner. And he was like, can we just relax today instead of going to all these haunted places? And I was like, yeah, we'll have a bit of a more relaxed day. Today, well, it's supposed to be a holiday as well.
Yeah.
But we went to, we travelled on the A12 road, which is believed to be the most haunted road in Suffolk, if not the UK.
Okay.
Because there's been all sorts of tales on this A12 road, especially near Blytheburg.
Okay.
Like there's been lots of ghosts that you can see as you're driving down the road. And it's near where the Black Shuck dog, one we talked about, where during the thunderstorm and he broke into church and attacked people.
Yeah.
So apparently there's a girl in blue, the drummer boy, highwayman with a girl in a long gown. He's all been seen along like this A12 road in Suffolk. And went down to spend the day in Felixstowe.
Okay.
Like a bit of a resort, more type of area. And went to Langard Fort.
Okay.
Which is a very, very old building, a very old fort.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe it to be the last place that England was attacked by the sea. It's like the last invasion took place here, and obviously the Langard Fort protected the country. Well, it's been there since Tudor times. So 500 odd
years.
Since then, they've been defending Harwich Haven, which is the water inlet where the port of Felixstowe is. which is a massive port.
Yeah.
And there's been ghost tales there for hundreds of years. People's reported seeing a sailor peering out of one of the windows.
Okay.
People feel like they're being pushed, like when they're walking around, they feel like someone's pushing them from behind.
Yeah.
A ghost horse, you can hear this ghostly horse, like the galloping or whatever. Yeah, that noise. Your horse guy, I can't think of the
That's about as close as I can think of. Clip clop. That's not very do you see anything? Sort of get any kind of vibes down there?
No.
Sometimes it isn't just about seeing stuff, it's about that sort of chill of a feeling, isn't it? There you go. Whether that's your mind playing tricks on you or there is a specific change in atmosphere or...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel anything there.
No.
Went to a couple of pillboxes still along the sort of coastline.
Yeah.
They are closed up, but you can get in if you know how to get in.
Okay.
So we went into them. Obviously from World War II, these are from.
Mm-hmm.
And still there. Took some pictures and stuff, but nothing really.
More of a sort of non-hunting day, I suppose, specifically.
Yeah. I suppose that's cool. Like military history than anything.
Yeah, because to be fair, it's been a shitty long 18 months for everyone, so just to get away is nice. So,
yeah
get some downtime, definitely. So, that was day three. Day four. Talk to me.
Yeah, one of my favourite days. So daytime went to Orford Castle, near Orford Ness.
Yes.
So Orford Castle has been mentioned in that Arbenzion episode again.
Yeah.
That was where, and Orford as well, is where the Wild Man of Orford.
Yes.
Is where the fisherman captured a man in the nets, like a fish man. Wild man wouldn't speak English. He just eat all his fish that they were giving him. And then he was tucked to Orford Castle, put in the prison there. And he was tortured and everything in this castle. He ended up escaping back to the water.
Yeah.
And was never seen again. And they believe it was either a man, a fish in the form of a man, or a spirit, evil spirit that had took the form of a man.
Yeah.
Don't really know. And I think this is back in 1200s.
That's it. It was one of the first sort of early ones we were talking about. Yeah.
And they got like the old, in the overcastle itself, which is really, really well kept for how old it is.
Yeah.
Some of the castles we've been to, it's just ruins. This is like, there's four floors. It's really well still built up.
Nice.
And they've got they've got information points about the wild man.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a photo of the original like writing from 1200s. It's like, can't read it. It's not like English. I don't know what language it is. Which where they're talking about this man and they put him in the prison and stuff. This fish man that was captured in the water. So that was just cool just to go there. And
yeah, because we talked about the 800 year history of the area anyway, didn't we? So to be able to go there and sort of verify what we've been talking about.
Yeah, it's just mad being there, being like, this is where I'm stored, where this fish man, wild man, was stood like 800 years ago.
That's cool.
Like, it's just really weird to
just
to be there, be like in it's history, isn't it? It's
you're in
history,
and it not to be a place that kind of doesn't really exist. It's just a talk about like folklore thing. To actually go there and be in the place where he was held, that is pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, definitely. So that was the day, and then the night time was our nighttime investigation at Wendover Forest.
Cool.
So we wanted to go at night because obviously not just the 1980 incident, there was the, as we talked before, we had Laurie Rayfelt, she had her UFO sighting over there.
She did.
Sightings from the 50s. There's been all sorts of weird lights and weird things being seen, both of the bases, Woodbridge and Bennett Waters.
Yes.
Before that, I did drive around the bases. Got to this part at RAF Bentwaters where it was like military vehicles only beyond this point or something. But I thought, I didn't see that sign. And went for a drive. But it's more like a business park than anything nowadays. But the control tower's still there, and like the runway and everything's still there and stuff, and some of the old buildings. So it's cool, just like go into the actual bases as well, Woodbridge, and Woodbridge now is the barracks for, I think it's for the army.
Yeah,
I think that's still operating at barracks. But I think like the airfield itself isn't used. So yeah, so for the night time, I wanted to go. Because like where the Rendlesham main incident happened,
yeah,
was sort of to the east and south of the Woodbridge base,
mm-hmm.
whereas there's more forest in between the two bases. So mm-hmm. that's where I want to go. So I'm sat in between the two bases. And then, so we set up, it took us about half an hour to get to like a little clearing
mm-hmm.
in the forest. I mean, we sat up a bit late and it was dark, we were trying to find somewhere. so that was creepy, you know, trying to find somewhere. And then we found this clearing, and we set up there for quite a while. So we had Bentwaters to our north. Bentwaters to our north, and then Woodbridge to our south.
Yeah.
So that was really surreal, being like just being in the middle of the forest, middle of the bases. And there's like signs saying like, watch out for adders and...
Oh, Jesus.
and ticks and stuff. So that fucked me. I'm a city boy.
And to anybody not from the UK, the adder is the UK's only poisonous snake, like native poisonous snake. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you didn't see any of those.
No, there's lots of noises, lots of wildlife noises.
So with the nighttime there where you were sat, did you get any kind of weird vibes or any kind of feeling or what? Describe to me how you were feeling, because obviously it is a place you've wanted to go to. So there's already that, like I mentioned earlier, that heightened sense of emotion of being there.
Yeah, definitely. It was that. And it just felt really, really relaxed.
Yeah.
And I can get quite creeped out quite easily. And I can I can chicken out of like, no, fuck this.
Yeah.
That's when it's just me and Jamie and more of us, and I'd be more relaxed going to the forest.
Yeah.
Where there's literally no lights, nobody about, nothing. And basically what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I was like, no, I'm not doing it. But I just felt really, really relaxed. I just felt like it just felt right being there. That makes sense. I just felt like,
yeah,
I think this is where we were meant to be. He just
felt
nice. So we just, it pitch black, you see all the stars, hardly any noise apart from wildlife. Didn't hear any traffic, any planes, nothing, just absolutely silent apart from like nature's noises.
Yeah.
And I went live on Facebook in the UFO Identify Facebook group for the whole time we were there.
Yes.
Kept the camera on with us in the background. So if anything happened, we'd have another piece of equipment recording it if there are noises or whatever.
Yeah.
And if we need another camera, we'd get it there. And it's just, and also people can just sort of join in and make comments or whatever while we were there. Yeah. Well, we need to get better set up because we just had to use like a little torch and point it downwards onto the ground.
Yes.
So obviously it didn't affect our sight and stuff. But I'm going to work on getting better equipment, like attaching the night vision camera to the phone or something so we can actually
see
everything rather than... So we did an EVP session there, listening back to that, nothing. I've not watched all the footage back yet because we've had like three different equipments recording the whole, like, we're there quite a while.
And to be fair, you've only just got back, really.
Yeah, I've not a chance to straight back in work today. I've not a chance. Long ass drive back home yesterday.
Yeah.
So that was the night. It felt, it was relaxed. I was really relaxed. It felt right being there.
Yeah.
And just mad just to think, like, I'm in between these two bases,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of Rendlesham Forest. I'm just chilling. I think he's just looking at the stars, looking in the forest, looking, trying to talk to whoever might be there.
Yeah.
It just felt good. But again, nothing really happens. And this is what I've not told you yet. I was going to message you, straight after it happened.
Yeah.
I thought I need to tell Greg, but I thought, no, I'll tell him on the podcast.
And even before we started recording this, You said you were going to tell me something, but you weren't going to tell me till
we're recording it.
So yeah, I don't know what you're about to say to me.
So we got back to the car.
Yep.
And it's still pitch black. Yeah. I nearly fell over. Like using your night vision to walk back through the forest.
Yeah.
Because it's pitch black. And they're tripping over trees. And there's a massive fallen tree. That's like duck climbing around it to actually get through. I don't know how this tree fell over. It's massive. It wasn't cut down. It's like it fell over, but it's fucking thick as fuck, this tree. Like,
it fell over.
Somehow fell over. Or someone pushed it over. Something pushed it over.
That's a good term. It fell over. Yeah, God, sorry. I jest.
So we get back to the car. We start packing stuff up. And I just got a really, really uncomfortable.
Okay.
And it felt like we just need to get out of here now. Like, I don't know why. It's been so relaxed the whole time. We walked back through the forest, it's fine. We got to the car, it just felt like I just want to go now. Like, I just felt really, really, like I don't want to be anymore. It's something just started going really, really uncomfortable.
What, sort of instantly sort of happening?
It sort of came on dead fast. Like, I was like, I just need to go now. Let's just get out of here.
So I was like,
okay, get in the car, lock the doors. Let's just go.
That bad?
Locking
the doors. Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't want to turn the headlights on in case there's something in front of me or something. I don't know. It's just like, let's just like drive out of here. The car park was like sort of in the forest a little bit, so I sort of drive out through the forest to get to the road. It's just like a dirt path type thing. So anyway, so we get to the roads and probably go about 100 feet, so not long after we left, and you hear something on the roof of the car.
What?
It sounded like a rattling noise, or like something was either on there or something had fell off the car. So me and Jamie were like, what the fuck was that?
Are you driving at this point?
Yeah, so we're driving.
Okay.
But we'd been driving, like, we hadn't, like, it was like we just, like, sounds like, did you leave something on the roof when we were packing away and something just fell off?
Yeah.
But we're just, like, driving in a straight road. I was like, I'll turn around and we'll drive back and see if we dropped anything. So we drive back. So we find the lay-by, turn around, drive back to the point where we heard the noise and drive past slowly. I'm looking on the floor, like the road's quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's nothing, not even like a stick in the road, like a twig could have like been on the car and rolled off, whatever. So we turned around, drove back to where we'd hear the noise. And we sort of got to near where we had parked. And I was like, let's just carry on driving further up. I was like, I don't want to stop near here. I want to get further up. We'll stop and we'll check we've got everything. We're not missing anything obvious. Yeah. So we pulled into a lay-by about a quarter of a mile up. I was like, I'm not stopping near where we were. I'm getting out of the location and then I'm stopping. So we looked and there was nothing like we misplaced.
Mm-hmm.
Even like bottles of drink we'd all been accounted for. It's like, so there's nothing that we put on top that just fell off. So I sort of drive back past it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just sort of slow down and have a look. So we did that. Nothing on the road, nothing on the side of the road, absolutely nothing. So it's like, okay, let's, whatever. And I started thinking then. I started thinking to myself and I said to James, like, something wants us to stop. It doesn't feel right. Like, so I'm like driving, it's pitch black, I've got high beams on. It's just forest either side of us. And it's pitch black, no other cars, there's nothing on the road.
Yeah.
So we're driving around and this is where it gets really weird. So we're just driving and we sort of come to like a little corner. So start slowing down a little bit for this corner. And there's a dog in the middle of the road. A small dog. A chihuahua looking dog. It's in the middle of the road, and then it goes off to the side. So James like, there's a chihuahua. And like, so 99.99% of the time,
mm-hmm.
I'm stopping.
Yeah.
It's middle of the night. We're literally middle of nowhere. And there's this chihuahua on the side of the road.
All breeds of dogs.
All breeds of this small. I said to him, I'm not stopping. Like, I've stopped in the past with a dead badger to move it off the road and shit like this.
Okay.
Because big animal lover, and if I've seen an abandoned dog, it's obviously lost or something, I would stop, I would help the dog, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, and I just felt like something wants us to stop. I'm like, that's what would get me to stop, mm-hmm. is this random dog in the middle of the road. In the middle of the night, in the middle, literally with miles from anywhere. There's no like village or house estates like near where we were.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this random? It was in the middle of the road and it ran off the side of the road. So what I've got, so I've got my dash cam on. So okay. I'm like, okay, so we just kept on driving. I was like feeling like both guilty. I'm like, I would stop 100% of the time for this dog.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I was like, but something wants us to stop. I don't want to stop. It just feels like something wanted us to stay there. And I was wanting to get out of there. So something happened later on, which I'll get onto in a minute. A little, literally a few minutes later, something else happened. And after this thing happened, I was like, right, I'll press the instant button on my dash cam, which then records, it saves that, records in 3 minute sections on my dash cam, and it records and it saves the current one and the previous 3 minutes. So this other thing happened. So I'm like, right, I'm saving my dash cam now. So I thought I'll have both instants. But when I've checked it back today, the dash cam footage, it literally, the block was recording moments after we saw the dog.
Yeah.
So you hear our reaction to it, but we don't see the dog.
It was a wild chihuahua.
Wild to be a wild chihuahua.
Boy, that chihuahua is probably dead now.
Fuck.
It could be the wild dog, what is it, a jackal? Yeah?
So to people, obviously, they're listening to this podcast, I'm watching this video, and it looks like a road out of a horror film, not going to lie.
That's what it felt like.
And if you, I heard Jamie's reaction to the fact that it was a wild chihuahua. Oh my god.
So yeah, a couple of points on that is after, because Jamie says like that chihuahua could be dead now, like I was like, don't make me feel guilty because I would stop like 100% of the time, and he's quite quiet, but you can just hear me say that's if it existed in the first place. Oh, I was thinking like it didn't actually exist, it was just put there somehow to make me stop. So that's what I was thinking, that's what was going through my head at the time. I was like, and, that's been put there to make me stop.
And it, what better than a dog breed that shouldn't be there?
Yeah, if it's like
if it's a German like a
working
shepherd,
dog, yeah, working dog, something that be off a farm.
Yeah,
obviously farmers could still have chihuahuas, but like if it's like say a German shepherd or something, or like a retriever.
Yeah,
maybe. But another point as well, what James said, could be like a jackal. So I've looked into that from Google. It doesn't seem we have jackals in the UK. I don't know if you know any different. And also we're looking at pictures of him, that wasn't what we saw. Tails were completely different. First of all, it could have been a rabbit. When I first saw it, I was like, a rabbit. I was like, no, one, it wasn't walking like a rabbit. Like, it didn't look like a rabbit. It didn't have the tail of a rabbit, it had the tail of a chihuahua. It looked like a fucking chihuahua. So that was the first thing that happened on the drive. Second thing. The first one was the weird noise on the top of the car.
Yep.
Second one was this dog. And the third one, actually, I won't tell you how. So I'll send you the second clip.
Yeah, okay.
So you can be watching this for the first time. Hey, man, we drove these roads every night and not seeing anything like this. These same roads, same time of night.
That's a deer, boy. It's not a dog, it's a deer. Oh, boy, don't kill it, don't kill it.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
Somebody's trying to get a stop.
Something is trying to make us fucking stop.
Oh my god.
I was just like, fuck. Like, they go in herds. They don't just one at a time. I was like, just stop.
I'm not stopping. I'm not fucking stopping. You can hear me saying I'm not fucking stopping.
I can see the title of the video. Not stopping for anything.
And again, it's something like, I think I said it there, like, never seen that before. Like, just driving around, there must be three or four deers that we saw just then.
like that. Okay, sorry, it's still playing in my ear.
Yeah, so like I say in the video there, like, that's something that's never happened before. And 99%, and any other time, I was stopping like, wow, like, this deer is like right in front of my car. Like, this is amazing. Like, what a sight to have all these deers jumping in front of your car crossing the road. But you see in the video, I'm like, I'm not fucking stopping. I nearly hit that second or third one. Like, I'm not stopping for anything. Like, it's happened. It's literally minutes after the dog.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is another thing that I would usually stop for.
Yeah,
I
was like,
I am not stopping. I'm just single-minded, focused, get out of here. Like, driving them out of these days and just get out of here.
We'll put some screen grabs or something up of the actual location of this road. And after what you've said, there's absolutely no way I'll be stopping either.
It's just not, literally, like, see how close we come to them days. Like, literally right in front of the car. I was like, I'm not stopping.
No, don't blame you. I don't blame you. And I think the whole Chihuahua thing, I think that's the killer one of all of this. That Chihuahua. What the fuck is a Chihuahua doing?
And what's more killer is that it recorded moments after.
And you can tell because you can hear.
We're reacting to the reaction
in the car.
I've pressed the button that saves them recorded because the dash cam records over the recorded files, but then it saved the ones you click on. Yeah, so I've done that, thinking all of it. And obviously, I drove home 7 hours yesterday. And it's obviously just recorded over the previous one to that.
Yeah,
it's like, for fuck's sake, like, literally, if I'd pressed the button 10 seconds earlier, he would have recorded it or whatever. Like,
yeah,
but that again, when I think, did it exist in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, it's just not recorded it. Like, I don't know. It's just really weird. So we I hightailed it back to the camp. And then I looked on the roof
when we got
back, and there was some, like, markings, took some pictures of him. I can't really make any heads or tails of the markings, saying what it is, but there's some markings in the dust on top of it.
Jesus
Christ. So
sounds like you've had a lucky escape.
So that was the weirdest.
Yeah,
that was like the last sort of thing we did.
Christ, it's just a driving ended on back. A high there, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a driving back from the investigation. It's like, the investigation's totally fine, nothing happened. It's just literally getting in the car, I was like, we need to go. And then feeling like something went just to stop, all these things happening within minutes of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just surreal things happening. And then.
Oh my God, that is actually amazing. I love that.
I'm glad I got some footage back it up, but wish I'd caught the actual dog.
Yeah,
in it, so I could say.
Fucking hell. And that's the first time I've heard about this. You've not mentioned that. That's cool. That is cool. That is cool. And the deer. I mean, down south we see a lot of deer, and you live in the city, so we can walk the dogs down the housing estate where I live, and just on the outside of the housing estate, there's literally deers just there. Yeah. So,
like I say,
that is almost like you say, something's not wanting you to go or wanting you to stop.
And I would
Chihuahua. I can't go over that.
I would stop both. Myself and I'm like, should I stop that fucking Chihuahua? Like, took it somewhere, try and get it scanned for microchip or something. That's also in my head.
I was like,
no, and then the deers, I was like, why black being the bloody safari? All these deers, different. Like, say we're not used to it.
But I think that's the kind of dog breed you would stop for. So if something was going to try and get you to stop for something, they wouldn't get you to stop for like a German Shepherd or something. Because I don't think anybody would stop for a German Shepherd in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. Because you'd expect it to turn around, have these red eyes and come at you. Yeah. But a Chihuahua, it's like having a pug or something like that. It's just, that's the kind of thing you would stop for.
Yeah, and it had stopped at the side. It's in the middle of the road, and it ran to the side of the road, and it was still there. Like, it stopped.
So it stopped in the middle of the road?
It was in the middle of the road when I first saw it, and then it ran to the side, and it stopped at the side. And I was like, I should stop for this dog, but I'm not stopping.
No,
don't know what that dog is.
No, it might not even be a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So that's pretty cool. At least you had some weird event.
That's my memory is that drive.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are your thoughts? What did you get any kind of feeling that when you had that feeling of like, I need to get out of there? Did you have any kind of feeling as to the reason why you needed to get out of there, or just sense of?
I just, like the first feeling was flight, was we need to, let's just go.
Yeah.
And that turned into something wants us to stop. And I had urges to stop. Like, I think that's just.
So were you like in your head thinking, I need to stop here?
Yeah.
Or,
so I was fighting like the, because like the first time I thought something fell off the roof,
mm-hmm.
like, I need to stop and see what it was, pick it up.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I had like the two urges stopping and no, I'm not stopping. I'm just getting out of here. It's like they're fighting each other and the dog again. I would stop 100% of the time. But the other urge to go was stronger. Like this, they're fighting each other to stop and to go.
Yeah.
So it was.
Wow. That's cool. That is cool. That is cool.
So yeah, that was the week in Suffolk exploring.
Nice.
All these different places.
And
something happened when you least expect it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like nothing happened in the places, nothing happened with the investigations, with the EPP sessions, with the videos, nothing happened, stargazing, nothing happened. Driving back to the campsite, weird as shit.
That is proper weird as well. At least you got the reaction to the chihuahua. At least there's some kind of...
Yeah. Why would there be a fucking wild chihuahua?
Yeah. Oh man, that is super cool though. That is very weird, very weird. And if it was the kind of I need to get out of here kind of feeling that we had at Castle Ring,
I
got that feeling and I was just like, fuck, I just don't want to be here anymore. Let's just go. It doesn't feel quite.
I was thinking like if my car doesn't start, if it breaks down, literally in the middle of nowhere. And That's what he was. Never start, but it then start again. And so I was like, I'm not stopping. It's just,
oh, mate, that's cool. And you genuinely kept that quiet from me. So yeah, I applaud that. That's
what you'd like that.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting to hear if anybody else has had any kind of weird animal experiences, particularly animals that shouldn't be in a place like. Because the deer, I kind of get the deer would be there.
Yeah.
But the coincidence or the timing of when it all happened, that's weird. And the fact that you saw an animal that shouldn't be anywhere outside of Paris Hilton's handbag in the middle of a road, miles from anywhere, that is super weird. Because I don't think there are wild chihuahuas in the UK. I don't think so. I may be mistaken, but oh my god, that is cool though. At least you had an experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I say, it was the end of the long week, and you'd weren't expecting it. So yeah, cool. Well, that's been thoroughly enjoyable listening to all of that. I'm glad you were able to get to the Rendlesham Forest, definitely, because I know that's one big place that you've wanted to go forever.
Yeah,
and then to go to the places that we talked about on the podcast as well and see all these bits and try the running around a church experiment. And I've seen the pictures on social media of you running.
I'm not much of a runner,
so I know you were at least running for the purpose of the photograph, if nothing else. But yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. So would you go back there again?
100%.
Yeah.
Literally,
we need to do it with a spirit box. That's what we need. And I know we spoke about that when you were going down there.
A remote one if I had a spirit box.
Yeah. So we'll have to repeat Cannock Chase, but back down at Rendlesham maybe. Get down there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, thanks for sharing that, Ash. Sounds like it was a great week, and the weather was amazing, as we discussed at the start. Yeah. So
couldn't have picked. So awesome. Like, it just gave us opportunity to be out there. It wasn't pissing down at night, so we couldn't go out and stuff. It gave us opportunity to go out and do stuff
and do everything. Yeah, amazing, amazing. Cool. So we've got some bits coming up over the next few weeks, hopefully, as well. We've got we're doing an interview for Paranormality Radio.
Oh yeah,
next week, Wednesday, I think it is. So yeah, we'll let everybody know when that's coming out. That sort of come out of nowhere, so that's awesome. We've also it is happening, just got to sort times out. An interview with James Gilliland from the eSETI branch, or the Gilliland Ranch in the US, which is another place. It's been one of the ones I've been interested in for a while. I've seen it on TV and I've been a follower of him on social media for years. And he has a ranch that has paranormal and UFO stroke alien related activity as well. Not quite as extreme as Stardust Ranch or the other one, Skinwalker. That's it. I mean, Stardust Ranch overtakes Skinwalker for me, and I see Skinwalker everywhere. So yeah, this ranch is at the base of Mount Adams in America, and the lights have been recorded and hundreds of hours of video from this place. It's been on TV multiple times of lights coming out of the mountain and going into the mountain and disappearing. So yeah, we're going to have a chat with him in the coming weeks. Yeah, that'll be a great one. That sort of ticks both the paranormal and the UFO box as well. And there's still time to vote for us in the award ceremony. It wouldn't be a weekly podcast without us mentioning that at some point. So yeah, there's still time to vote if you haven't already. That would be great, and it would mean so much to us just to get some feedback on how we're doing. We get reviews and people messaging us, but to get that some kind of feedback from that way would be awesome.
Yeah,
and continue to send in your stories and all the personal experiences you have. We got a story that a lady from America had messaged us, and her daughter was experiencing things, sent us video clips, was asking us to help them, and we're not trained in that kind of thing, so we've been trying to get advice for these people, and it went quiet. And out of the blue the other day, the lady messaged me and said she's still having issues. It seems to have cleared up a bit, but there's still issues. So we do get a lot of people messaging us for help as well. So whilst we're not really experts in helping paranormal stuff, we definitely got people that we can refer to help us and get some advice. So if you have any issues or any accounts you want to share with us, let us know. We're always up for listening to things, and this crazy amount of people out there that do experience things. So keep it weird, people. So yeah, that's it from me this week, Ash. And it's been great, as I say, great listening to Rendlesham stuff. It is a cool place.
It's just good to have the first hand. I can now give first hand account of being there.
Yeah. And then when we speak to these people, and you can now in your mind's eye, you can see it from your point of view being there as well, which is super cool. So did you see the bit where Laurie said that she had seen the lights and everything going over the
over her head? So she was at the East Gateway. And then I saw this week on Twitter, actually, she's put like diagram up of where she saw the lights and where she saw them splitting.
Yeah.
And it's literally above the trail where you go to.
Okay, cool.
Like I say, the airfield's right there. You go up to the border fences there, you can see the whole airfield and the runway and stuff where she saw her lights.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. All right. So, we'll be releasing another episode on Tuesday. This one has been a bit later, just so we can try and capture all the experiences Ash has had. So yeah, thanks again for listening, everybody.
Yeah, cheers, we'll guys.
See you soon.
Yep, see you next time.
Bye.
pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.